is on. It must be close to 6 o'clock. Good evening, everybody. I'm going to call to order the Planning Commission meeting for Tuesday, December 18th, 2018, pretty close to 6 p.m. We have a roll call, please.
Commissioner Martin?
Here.
Commissioner George?
Here.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Here.
Commissioner Mack?
Here.
And Commissioner Shiro?
Here.
Please, everybody, stand and join us in a salute to the flag.
States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We don't have a long agenda here tonight, but I'm opening up. Is there anyone on the commission who'd like to revise the order of the agenda items on tonight's agenda for tonight's meeting?
No.
Hearing none, seeing none, we'll proceed. The next item on the agenda is a community comment and suggestion period. This public comment period is an invitation to members of the public and the community to present issues, thoughts, or suggestions on matters that are not scheduled on the agenda tonight. I do already have a number of speaker slips related to an item on the agenda. Now is not the time to approach the dais and speak on that. You'll have an opportunity later during the meeting. But at this point in time, any comments or suggestions on items that are not on the agenda, this is the appropriate time to step up. Comments should be limited to those matters that are within the jurisdiction of the Planning Commission. And the Brown Act restricts the Commission from taking any formal action on matters not published in the agenda. We request that the public comment be limited to 3 minutes and allow us to move on. At this point, is there anyone in the room here tonight that would like to speak on an item or an issue that is not on the agenda for tonight's meeting? Seeing none, we'll close the community comment period. To turn to staff, are there any additional written communications that are received for tonight's agenda?
None this evening.
Thank you very much. Next item is the consent agenda. We have a single item on the consent agenda tonight. It's the consideration for the approval of the minutes. And I'm happy to, hopefully, fellow commissioners have read the minutes of the prior meeting. And I'm happy to
recommend to approve.
Second.
Entertain a motion. We have a motion and a second. We have a roll call, please.
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
Commissioner Shiro?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
Commissioner George?
Yes.
And Commissioner Martin?
Yes. The minutes of the last meeting have been approved unanimously. The next item on here is the public hearing item. Consideration of a conditional use permit 18-003 and addendum to the previously certified environmental impact report, phased commercial development of approximately 28,000 square feet of office, warehouse, and cafe at the location of sub-area 1 of the East Cherry Avenue specific plan. The applicant is Greg Cottrell of Rugged Radios, and their representative is Stephen Pudlisi, Architects. If I can get Mr. Downing to give us our staff report on this tonight, please.
Thank you, Chair Martin, members of the Commission. Good evening. Tonight, as you mentioned, this is consideration of conditional use permit 18-003 and an addendum to the previously certified environmental impact report. So we'll start out with some project background. The East Cherry Avenue specific plan was approved by the City Council in January of 2017. The project site itself is the three separate parcels located at the Traffic Way frontage. It's actually at the corner of Traffic Way and East Cherry Avenue. During processing of the specific plan project, this site was evaluated for a three-story, 100-room hotel, as well as about a 4,000-square-foot sit-down restaurant. The conditional use permit during the processing for the hotel was actually withdrawn, and that project was not approved, but it was evaluated in the environmental impact report. And subsequent to approval of the specific plan, the property was sold to the applicant, and the conditional use permit in front of you this evening was submitted. So here's the project site that we're talking about this evening. It's outlined in red. As I mentioned, it's the three separate parcels, so two of them running toward Traffic Way and then one back behind fronting East Cherry Avenue. They're zoned traffic mixed use, and they're located in sub-area 1 of the East Erie Avenue specific plan. Surrounding land uses include auto shops, a nursery, a swim club, and offices to the north and west. A gas station and mobile home park to the south. Sub-area 2 of the East Erie Avenue specific plan is to the east, so that's the residential component of the East Erie Avenue specific plan. And then it is in close proximity to the northbound 101 off-ramp and southbound 101 on-ramp. So the proposed project in front of you this evening is a phased commercial development, which includes four buildings. What I've been referring to is the flagship commercial building. That's the largest building on the site. That's the 15,000 square feet. That consists of sales and distribution activities going on in that building. Warehouse number one is located behind the flagship commercial building, but it's on lot C, so it's on its own separate lot. That it shares with warehouse number two, which is fronting East Erie Avenue itself. And in those two warehouses, we're looking at product and component storage, primarily in warehouse one. So this is where the equipment that Rugged Radio puts together are assembled and stored there, or the components that they need in order to assemble their products are stored in those locations. Warehouse number two is additionally slated for vehicle storage, so as part of their business model, they also do demonstration vehicles to show their equipment off, and so there will be some vehicle storage and possibly a vehicle museum in there. I'll defer to the applicant to expand on his idea for that. And then lastly, at the corner at Traffic Way and East Erie Avenue, we're looking at that cafe, which we've talked about a couple of different things, either a coffee shop or a small taco stand type restaurant use, so a cafe, restaurant, coffee shop type situation there. Wanted to point out that we are getting the full site improvements with the initial phase, so we're looking at multiple phases on this project, with the first phase being the flagship commercial building and warehouse number one, and within 3 years we expect full build out of the site, pardon me. However, the applicant has also indicated that they're due to their business growth, they might just go ahead and build the whole thing now. So while they're proposing to phase it within 3 years, we might see all phases come in at once. But the full site improvements, including access, parking, and lighting, will all be done in that first phase. So we'll get all the site horizontal improvements done at once. And then again, the kind of light manufacturing, the component manufacturing, and the sales and office are occurring on site. So here's what that all those words look like visually. So we have on lot B, one of the southernmost lot that fronts Traffic Way, we have the 15,000 square foot warehouse building. We do have retail opportunities up front, and then offices down below, and meeting space and offices on the second floor mezzanine in this area. And then the largest portion of the building is the warehouse section for component and distribution. Then, again, as part of phase one, we're looking at that warehouse number one, about 5,100 square feet, and then warehouse number two. Both of these are located on lot C, and then lot A being the small cafe. Now, first thing we do is we always look at the general plan for projects. So the property is designated for mixed-use land uses. In this instance, the general plan is also implemented by the East Erie Avenue specific plan, and the project has been found to be consistent with general plan policies as listed on the screen, and they're identified in your staff report as well. So I won't bore everybody with reading those out. In terms of development code and the project's compliance with the development code, it's zoned traffic way mixed use, so TMU. The purpose of the TMU district is to provide for vehicle sales and services, related retail and office uses, and visitor serving facilities convenient to both freeway traffic and vehicles or pedestrians from the nearby village area. As I mentioned several times, it's also included in that specific plan overlay for the East Erie Avenue specific plan, and the project meets the development standards of both the Traffic Way Mixed Use Zoning District and the East Erie Avenue specific plan. Now, And we'll move on to access. So, again, here we're looking at the site with the project. We're looking at three proposed accesses. But first, with the East Cherry Avenue specific plan environmental impact report, there was a mitigation measure associated with subarea 1. It was mitigation measure Trans 5A, which required an access study when we were evaluating the proposal to come in on subarea 1. That was completed in November by the city's on-call traffic engineer, GHD. So there are three accesses proposed on this property, basically on all three of the frontages that they have. So there's one proposed on Traffic Way, which according to the traffic study would be limited to right-in and right-out turning movements, given the forecasted traffic volumes and the city roadway classification of Traffic Way. Another would be on East Cherry Avenue, which would be full ingress and egress, so left-hand turn movements to and from the site. And same thing with Waller Place, which is the new road in between subareas 1 and 2. So we would expect full turning movements there. You'll note one thing on the access way on the Waller Place side is that it does line up with the alleyway across the street in subarea 2. So if the commission will recall, against East Cherry Avenue, these are what we're calling the alley-loaded homes. And so the idea was to get the driveway lined up with that. Across the street on the East Cherry Avenue side, we do have two driveways accessing the swim club. And this the location of this was evaluated by GHD and recommended that this is the best location for it, in that it's as far away as you can get from this intersection right here without then intruding into this intersection here. So this was the optimal space. It's located between the two driveways, and the access study for this specific driveway, the only recommendation that they made was to make these parking spaces diagonal. So that's something that we'll be looking for when the construction documents come through. Now, in terms of parking, total number of parking spaces proposed is 86, 11 of which are reserved. When we're looking at a project like this, we're taking a look at all the different uses going on the site for all the different buildings. So right now, the Lot A restaurant and cafe, we're looking at a parking requirement of 1 per 100 square feet of publicly accessible space. The applicants indicated about 800 square feet or so 8 parking spaces. Lot B, which is the flagship lot, about 7,600 square feet or so dedicated to office-type uses, retail-type uses, and then another 7,500 square feet or so dedicated to warehouse space. So we have the 1 per 250 for office and 1 per 800 for warehouse, so 39.78 spaces. And then Lot C is the warehouses themselves, so Warehouse 1 and Warehouse 2. Between those two uses, we're just below 12 spaces, so total for the proposed project, we're looking at 60 required spaces and 86 proposed. So here we're looking at where all those vehicle parking spaces are located. As I mentioned, 11 of them are what we're calling reserved. So they're in this area, which we anticipate to be behind a gate system for the applicant. This is where they're anticipating to store their company vehicles. So the vehicles they take out on their shows and their demonstrations and things like that, that they actually work in. So that's different from the demonstration vehicles that they're proposed to have also stored in Warehouse 2. These are the ones that will go out in the field that their employees will drive around, things like that. But as you can see, the remainder of the site is largely covered with parking. So we have a lot of parking out in front of the flagship building. We have a lot of parking associated with Lot A as well as the Lot C. And we would expect, in its condition, to have reciprocal parking and access easements between all three parcels so that the site functions as a whole. So now looking at the architecture of the building, and I know that the applicant's architect is in the audience tonight as well. So the architecture is proposed to be kind of an Art Deco Route 66 style architecture. In a modern industrial design, so we're taking the Route 66 influence and putting that into today's industrial look. Materials we're looking at over here, which you can't really see them that well on the screen. I was hoping they would be a little bit clearer, but we're looking at horizontal metal siding, the rusting steel accents in some of on the corners. We're looking at the flat metal awnings, typical of that era, and then one of my favorite words, fenestration. So window fenestration, you have a lot of that on that the public way side of the primary buildings here. The warehouses in the back would also utilize a similar design, although they would be, because they're not necessarily public facing to the primary traffic way in Cherry Avenue, they'd be less adorned. The corner cafe, as you can see in this image below, is definitely proposed to be kind of one of those historic gas station looks, where they're proposing to have the interior be the restaurant and then additionally have outdoor patio seating underneath the canopy as well as in the flat space. On this building itself, they'd be looking at doing smooth stucco siding and then having a darker stucco band around the top to kind of break up that building mass. So here's that look of the flagship building. So this is looking at it from Traffic Way. Obviously, you have the primary corner feature with the large radio antenna, which in the staff report I outline, it rises above the building height maximum, but there are exceptions in the municipal code that would allow for things like this to project into that above that maximum building height. And during the Architecture Review Committee's review of the project, they actually liked that feature, being that this is, as you're coming off the freeway northbound 101, this is a gateway into the city, and this acts as a gateway feature, kind of welcoming everybody to Arroyo Grande. This is the rear elevation, so this is back if you're standing in the parking lot, kind of toward Waller Place, looking at the building. So we have the two roll-up door bays. You can see the radio tower in the distance. This is looking at the flagship building from the interior parking lot to the north. So we have a few roll-up door bays as well with employee entrances. And again, the window fenestration, one of my favorite words, as well as actual access for the public to access the front of the building in case they want to go in and talk to the employees in the shop. This side is the southern boundary that faces the mobile gas station. It's not zero lot line quite, but it's pretty close to being a zero lot line, so it's also doubling as being that property boundary between that and the mobile site down below. Here we're looking at the warehouse buildings themselves back on Lot C, so three different bays on each one, and as well as making sure that the rear elevation, this is the elevation facing subarea 2, isn't just plain. It does have the different breaking up of all the masses with the windows and the different horizontal and vertical lines. So definitely trying to make it a four-sided building, both of those buildings four-sided. And here we get a close-up look of that cafe with the, as you can see, it definitely looks like an old Route 66 gas station with the different workshop bays and the covered porte-cochere, if you will. The specific plan does identify this area to be in the D2.11 design overlay district, so that's the traffic way and station way overlay district. The previous proposal that was evaluated in the specific plan was going to be more of a residential use, being the hotel, so at that time they were trying to tie it more into the subarea 2 architecture, being a little bit more village-esque. In this instance, staff believed and the ARC agreed that the compliance with the Route 66 kind of theme, being more commercial, more of an industrial commercial proposal, was more appropriate for this site. Now, looking at the landscape, you'll notice that there's a discrepancy between, if I, if if the computer works with me and gets back to that slide, that there's a discrepancy between the backsides of these buildings, the warehouse buildings, and the landscape plan. So the landscape plan was developed in the very initial stages of the project when this whole area, this 34 feet of right-of-way dedication per the specific plan, was still being refined, and they were trying to figure out where exactly are all of these improvements in terms of what we're proposing. So there is still space back behind warehouse number 2 to add some kind of more vertical trees, and landscaping in the ground, transitioning from ground level up to the trees. In this area, behind warehouse number 1, there's a little less space between their property line. What we anticipate is that this area of the city's right-of-way behind the sidewalk, between the sidewalk and the building, will be landscaped and maintained by the applicant, similar to the landscaping palette that's in your plan set. So overall, a lot of the site is proposed to be covered with impervious surface, but we do have all of these different opportunities for trees and street trees to comply with our street tree ordinance, as well as our parking lot ordinance for trees, the number of trees per number of parking spaces. So the Architecture Review Committee also has a condition that they added in that the final landscape plan be reviewed by them prior to building permit issuance. So I wanted to highlight that for you as well. Now, kind of a catch-all slide, fencing, lighting, and signage. So as you can see down at the bottom, the applicant, there's an existing wooden fence in this location between this site and the mobile home park now. The applicant's proposing to replace that wooden fence with a 6-foot masonry wall. That would stretch from the end of the flagship building down to the eastern boundary of warehouse number 1, and then would turn and terminate into warehouse number 1. All other spaces on the site, with the exception of the reserved parking area, at this time don't have gates or fencing associated with it. So right now what we're looking at is a 6-foot masonry block wall fence between the site and the mobile home park. In terms of light standards, we don't have a photometric plan, but we do have what they're proposing in terms of light standards. So typical in parking lot lighting, we're looking at 12 to 16 feet high of the light standards. The 12 feet, what staff has heard is that those are going to be located closer to the mobile home park to try and keep them lower so that they're not shining into the backyards of the mobile home park, while 16 feet would be located more in the center of the site so that they can cover more area for security purposes. As standard, the lighting details, the photometric plans, would be required to be reviewed by the Community Development Department and the Police Department for compliance with the municipal code in terms of light spillage and light pollution. And then the last thing, signage. So signage isn't officially proposed with this project, but as you can see in the elevations and renderings, there are the conceptual sign application in. We're looking at the name Rugged Radios being on that tower feature of the flagship store, with Rugged being vertical and then Radios being horizontal. My understanding, and the applicant's representative can correct me if I'm wrong, but the idea is to have radios be illuminated with internal neon to kind of have that Route 66 feel, but as well be backlit so that it has two methods of illumination. But again, it's not a final proposal. It's just there for your consideration this evening. Now, in terms of advisory committee reviews, the staff advisory committee reviewed this project 3 separate times in June, August, and October. We talked about several different things, including stormwater requirements, utility connections, the access. We talked about that several times, and the driveway alignment. So going back to aligning the driveways with the alley-loaded units across Waller Place and trying to get as close to in the middle of the swim club driveways as we could. Ultimately, in October, the staff advisory committee did recommend approval of the project. The Architecture Review Committee reviewed the project on October 15th. They looked at site layout, access, the architectural character of the building. So going back to one I mentioned earlier. They talked a lot about that tower feature, as I mentioned, and the need to be sensitive to the mobile home park to the south. And so trying to soften any of the as much of the buildings as you could with landscaping and trying to maintain the sense of privacy that the mobile home park currently has as best as possible. The ARC also recommended approval of the project. Now, I mentioned part of the proposal in front of you this evening is an addendum to the environmental impact report. So the EIR was certified for the specific plan project, and it evaluated that three-story, 100-room hotel and 4,000-square-foot sit-down restaurant. This proposed project, what we do in that instance is we compare the project impacts and trip generations and things like that against what was evaluated in the EIR. In this instance, all of the mitigation measures and impacts identified in the EIR were more than enough to cover the proposed project, and therefore additional mitigation wasn't necessary and no additional impacts were found, so we prepared the addendum to that East Cherry Avenue specific plan EIR, which is in front of you this evening. In terms of public notification, a public hearing notice was mailed to all property owners within 300 feet of the site. It was published in the Tribune at City Hall and on the city's website. And that should not say January 26th of 2018. It should have said earlier in December. That's my fault. A sign was posted at the site. Both of these postings were in accordance with the city policy. Tonight's agenda and staff report were posted at City Hall and on the city's website in accordance with the government code. And surprisingly, staff has not received comments from the public on this proposal. And that's my presentation. So at this time, it's recommended that the Planning Commission adopt the prepared resolution approving conditional use permit 18-003. I am here to answer any questions you may have. We have City Engineer Robin Dickerson with us as well. So we are here to answer questions.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Downing. Are there questions? Mr. Shower, do you want to start? Do you have any questions for staff on this?
Sure. I just wanted to talk about the phase development portion. What's the flexibility, Matt, in it when somebody says, okay, we're going to do this over three phases? If they get to the point where they haven't done it in 3 years, can they get an extension? I'm just curious.
Yeah, so our standard approval expiration is 2 years unless a building permit's issued. I do know that the applicant intends to be up and running, if approved, within the next year. So that essentially satisfies that expiration requirement. What we try and do when a phasing is proposed is look at how is the phasing proposed. Are you proposing utilities? Does that make sense? Are you phasing stormwater? Does that make sense? In this instance, that's why all of these horizontal site improvements are proposed at once, because it makes the most sense to do all of that work at once and then, if necessary, do the vertical construction.
And do they have the option not to build any? I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Very good. Mr. Mack?
There we go. A couple questions. Generic one. Has any of the mitigation measures per the EIR been removed, altered, or changed as a result of this proposal?
As a result of this proposal, no.
And what is the timing of the signal that's supposed to be going on in that corner?
So the timing of the signal is associated with subarea 2 of the specific plan and the development of that, and that's required to be installed prior to building permit issuance for the first residence other than the model homes of that development.
So that should be done before this project moves forward, correct?
Yes, sir.
And then I think I heard you say, and I just want to confirm, there's no left-hand turn in from Traffic Way coming south?
That's correct.
On the parking spaces, I guess I'm seeing that there's 60 parking spaces that are required, and there's a bonus of 26. So my question here is regarding parking and the vehicle, I think it's 11, possibly 12 there. Is that included in the statistics?
It's included in the 80, so if you take those out, they're still overparked by about 9 spaces.
Okay, so that's what I wanted to know. How are they overparked versus the vehicles that are being stored that are not available?
Certainly, and that's why I was categorizing those as reserved spaces.
With regarding the building name, which I like the whole look and everything. How was that looked with the sign ordinance, and was that reviewed for a maximum area for the building signage, or is that coming back later, or are we approving that tonight?
No, you will not be approving that tonight, but it's giving you the opportunity to kind of see the signage in the context of the building as you're evaluating the architecture of the structure itself. By guesstimating, because I don't have the actual construction level sign dimensions, I do believe that it'll be within the guidelines, but we'll have to process that separately.
Because I'm just guessing, because the way staff would do it, they take a rectangle around the furthest letter, whether it's upside down or correct, backwards or whatever, and do a rectangle around the whole thing and do the surface area.
Correct.
Okay. Is there any conditions for warehousing to provide natural light and to be more energy efficient?
Not in the prepared resolution. That's a good question and a good. I would definitely see if the applicant and or the representative is interested in that. It's a good question.
Okay. That's all the questions I have. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you very much. Ms. George?
Yes, I have questions. So I have questions. I'm not sure how many of them would be more appropriate for the applicant, but I'll start with you. Are we overparked?
On this proposal, mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, are we unnecessarily overparked?
I don't believe we're actually unnecessarily overparked. We are overparked, but as Commissioner Mack was alluding to, some of those are reserved for company vehicles, things like that. And I think ultimately it's probably the correct amount of parking for this proposal.
Because my question is, depending on how many employees they have, whether or not the retail facility is heavily visited or they do more online sales, that cafe is only 800 square feet. So is there an opportunity to make that larger and serve the community better and maybe reduce some of the parking if we're overparked?
Interesting question. I would defer to the applicant in terms of his projected retail versus online sales. I do know that they're primarily online driven. The thing to keep in mind on increasing the size of the cafe would be we also then increase the projected vehicle trips, which we would then have to evaluate further and make sure that that's in compliance with the project that was evaluated in the EIR.
Just because, you know, it is right down the street
sure.
from the high school, so vehicle trips might not be a thing more
sure.
so. But I guess I'll ask the applicant that.
And I do think there's, going back to that, I mentioned that the outdoor dining portion of the project being in this area, but I could see some other opportunities for expanded outdoor dining, too. So even though the interior might be small, you might see some expanded use on that parcel.
Are we going to see a sign package? I know that Commissioner Mack had alluded to that. So will the sign package go back to the ARC? Or
it depends on the full level of signage proposed. So we do have three different sign permit levels in our code. We have an administrative sign permit, administrative sign program, and planned sign program in levels of intensity. Based on what I've seen so far, I do anticipate a plan sign program for making sure consistency between the flagship building, the cafe, and their total sign area. If that's the case, it would come to the Planning Commission ultimately via the Architecture Review Committee. But if there's an instance where maybe there's not going to be signage proposed on the warehouses in the back and the actual sign total square footage is such that it's in that kind of middle ground, will go to the Architecture Review Committee for a recommendation to the Director of Community Development.
Just because when you start saying neon lights, backlit, how long are they going to be lit for?
Sure.
24/7. Those are questions that we'd like answers to.
Yeah, and we have standards in the code. So the code says that light signage has to be turned off at 10 p.m. or 1 hour after the business has closed, whichever's latest. So it's things like that that we would definitely look at for compliance when the signage is proposed. And the ARC, as you're going to do this evening, did take the kind of conceptual sign design into account when they were evaluating everything. And received it positively based on limited neon usage. So not using neon to outline the building.
Right. So this may be a question for the applicant, but the two warehouses in the back, are they mainly for storage, or will there be production going on in there as well? I'm just wondering what the noise level coming from those warehouses would be and if they'll have any impact on the residences across the street.
My understanding is that there's no production happening in those warehouses, but I would defer to the applicant to clarify that.
And then my last question, which I ask every meeting, is are there plans for solar for the complex?
I would highly encourage the applicant to address that.
Okay, I will wait then. Those are my questions. Thank you.
Commissioner Fowler-Payne, do you have questions?
Yeah. Well, Sean Mack already got my concern resolved. So, I have that. I do have one comment, though, when Commissioner George indicated increasing the size of the cafe there. Once you do, you're going to take away from the atmosphere that you're creating with the design. Because historically, you know, they're wanting it to look like a Route 66, which is what it is now, but you increase that size and it's not going to have that feel. I mean, we have two gas stations, or old, historic ones right there on Traffic Way, Bewley's and Valley Auto one. So I like the overall design and style. I think the location is appropriate for it. I have no problems with the parking. Usually we're underparked, so I'm kind of satisfied with being overparked for a change. So anyway, no additional comments right now.
Very good. I don't have any comments for staff. I'm going to give the applicant an opportunity to come up and supplement the comments that have been made by the staff or make their own comments, whatever, at which point we'll be able to pose questions for the commissioners will be able to pose questions for the applicant. Welcome.
Hello. Honorable Chair and members of the Planning Commission, my name is Michael Dammeyer of Stephen Puglisi Architects. First, before I dive into answering your questions, I'd like to bring the owner of Rugged Radius, Greg Cottrell, up just to say hi, say a few things about the company, and then we'll move on from there.
Very good.
Thanks.
Hello, everybody in Planning Commission. This is an exciting day for us. Rugged Radios, let me just give you a little brief history. I've got a lot of friends and family here, a lot of our employees, which is family to us. Rugged Radios started about 15 years ago in my garage. In Arroyo Grande. We started in Arroyo Grande. I started right in my garage. We quickly, within the first year or so, grew out of the garage, and I had to find a building, and I moved to San Luis Obispo. And we're currently located today, 951 East Grand Avenue. And what I've done, it was so exciting when the Grand Avenue, because we outgrew our place in San Luis Obispo. We needed a bigger building, and this building, 951 East Grand Avenue, came up, so we bought the building, we moved in. Rugged Radios, what we do is we do high noise environment communication equipment. So off-road, racing, police officers, fire trucks. And what I tell everybody is if you need to speak in loud noise, we got you covered. And anyway, so Rugged Radios, we've been growing at a really fast rate. Not a lot of like walk-in traffic. That was one of the questions earlier. Not a lot of walk-in traffic. We're over the phone. We have salespeople that are answering the phone. Our website does a big business. And we're quickly became a national brand. And now we have 38 employees in our current building. We're bursting at the seams. And the opportunity came up to get this piece of property and to further expand Arroyo Grande. And, you know, when I started looking in the area and where am I going to move, what am I going to do, I started looking all around. But my main thing was I want to stay in Arroyo Grande. I live in Arroyo Grande. I love Arroyo Grande, and I want to be part of Arroyo Grande. And that's what's been so exciting for us with this project. I always wanted a Route 66 theme. You know, the old radio station, the little vintage coffee shop on it, Rugged Roasters, coffee and street tacos, you know, because we don't have a great street taco place. And you know what? We wanted to have some fun. The back buildings, you know what? When we talk about back buildings and storage and things, we need storage, we need space. The car museum. So we build cars. I build custom cars for a television show on Fox Sports called Destination Polaris. Our shows have been the top-rated shows they have. They're really exciting. We get giant exposure from it. People come over just to see our builds. I just did the Rugged 32, which is a 32 Ford 5-window coupe built on a Polaris Razor. If you haven't seen it yet, I recommend come over and see it because you won't believe what we did. But that's the kind of stuff that we do. We don't build them on site. So we talk about noise. We don't build those on site. We have an off-site shop in Grover Beach. Nick with Envy Fab does our fabrication. So that way the noise, dirt, dust, and everything like that stays, you know, off-site. But I wanted to have a place that I could have the cars organized, have it nice and neat, and just a fun place that somebody wants to come in and see. It's just a little addition to be part of Rio Grande. We're proud to be part of the city. And that's why we're excited to be in the city. And you know what? All the employees we have and the families that we support is just incredible. There's not a lot of big businesses in Rio Grande. We want to be that flagship business, and we want to be the business that Rio Grande is proud to have. So that's our mission, and that's our goal. That's why we're so excited about this property, the look, the design, and what we're doing, and we can't wait to break ground and keep moving forward. I'm going to let Michael Dammeyer take over, tell you a little bit more about it, but thank you for this opportunity. We're really excited.
Thank you, Greg, very much.
Back to the boring stuff.
Critical information,
yes,
please.
Sir. Yes, sir. Commissioner Mack, first I'm going to start with your questionings in terms of energy efficiency and natural daylight. We will be having to commission the flagship warehouse. We will also have to comply with the Title 24 requirements for all three buildings. In terms of natural daylight, we are offering plenty of daylight in the flagship, some windows in the two warehouses. You know, budget is everything, so the applicant wanted to come in showing a few fenestrations with the possibility of adding more depending on the uses of the spaces. So that's something that will come through with the construction documents and that will be incorporated into the buildings. Commissioner George, your comments on parking, I think Matt addressed the question of being overparked. The other thing we have to keep in mind is flexibility of those warehouse spaces in the future. Whether it's an artisan shop or other uses that we're proposing in this entitlements, we will have to come back and look at that traffic demand, the impacts on the traffic, the overall traffic study. So we wanted to keep that a little bit overparked just to give Greg the flexibility. And then I think Greg answered in terms of the noise level. I don't think the back two warehouses at this point are proposed for any high noise activity. If, in fact, something would come about in the future, obviously we would run through all the right avenues with the city to make sure everything is studied in that fact.
Yeah. Let me say one quick thing on the noise. What Rugged Radios does is we don't manufacture there. We have a manufacturing, you know, offshore in Seoul, Korea. So basically we're packaging. So when the question came up as far as manufacture assembly, you know, we're just assembly-wise as we're taking components, putting kits in boxes, in finished packaging and shipping out. So the noise level is little to nothing.
And solar, each building will be solar ready. The client has expressed interest in doing the solar offset for the flagship building in phase one. It's something we're always pushing for, so that will be coming through with the construction documents as well. Any other questions?
Are there additional questions? Mr. Mack, do you have additional questions that have come up?
This could be for Greg, too. By moving to this facility, you're expecting also the ability to grow beyond your current employment and provide more jobs for people who live here? Or what's your anticipated growth over the next 5 years?
We have a lot of growth. We average over 30% every single year, and for a business, that's incredible. So, yes, we are growing. We're expanding. We're going to be in big box stores. We're right now, all the OEMs in our industry want us. So yes, we are going to grow. The one thing that's good about that growth that's really exciting for us is third party shipping. So a lot of times when we're sending pallets to big stores, to Cabela's, Bass Pro Shops, things like that, that'll all be warehoused in third party shipping. So it won't affect traffic, congestion, and other things that we have here won't affect these buildings. So the beauty about it is we'll have off-site storage in other places, and they'll just be drop shipping the bulk product for us.
So, in your mind, you probably don't feel that you're being overparked. It's more like you're accommodating for the future.
You know, I'm accommodating for the future. I want to have plenty of parking because, you know what, so many places that I've been to, parking is a shortage. It's really difficult. It's hard to find a parking space. I just wanted to make it easy. You know, I mean, the thing is, by being flexible, I don't know, maybe there's a big swim event that's going on the place across the street on the weekend. And it's going to allow the ability to have those overflow people park over on our side. You know, we're a community. Let's all work together. You know, I don't like it when somebody says, you can't do this, and it's for this only. So, you know, I think we're doing a service to the community by having plenty of parking and, you know, overparking.
Okay. I'm kind of familiar with your current operation, you know, when we were looking at the last application, last meeting. And one of the things I saw is a lot of the vehicles were being worked on or installs. I'm not sure what was going on in the congestion when I arrived, but that's mainly going to be happening in the 11 stalls that are identified there in that one side area?
Exactly. The 11 stalls back over there, that's we have vending trailers. So we have vending trailers and trucks. The beauty about the size of the stalls, it allows us to leave the trucks and trailers connected, back them into place. That way they're loaded. So that way when we're getting ready for events, because we do a lot of off-site events. So we travel all over to off-site events, and that way we load the trailers up, and then they take off and go to the event.
You don't do installs, though, outside, do you?
No, I don't do installs. Lately, we've been filming videos, been doing mock-ups, things like that. We'll do a mock-up bracket for an install that we'll do. We do things like that, but we don't have customers dropping off vehicles for installs.
Okay, thank you. A couple more questions for the architect. Obviously, these buildings are going to have to be conditioned. What is the plan for HVAC units that could possibly mount on the roofs? Are they going to be screened from view, parapets high enough?
Yeah, the current plan is for the flagship building is the one we're working on right now. That AC unit, it's only one. It's going to be placed in the center of the structure, and we will be building a screen to protect that from the view. That will be consistent with the building materials.
So one of my concerns that kind of stood out, if we can go back that last slide that kind of showed the corner shot, my concern would be if all of a sudden a mechanical unit popped up on this really beautiful corner Art Deco building and it stuck up above the fenestration of what we're trying to articulate. Do you have any issues to ensure that those parapets are high enough to screen any mechanical equipment on top of a coffee shop or
for the cafe?
Grill? Yeah, for the cafe.
Yeah, for the cafe, we provided enough ceiling height that we can conceal that unit within the building.
Okay, because that would definitely be a concern. That
yes,
because that looks beautiful.
It would
but if you see a shiny sheet
character.
Metal box stick
yeah.
up beyond that, you can lose that
agree.
Whole feel. And
completely agree.
I would vote to have that building taller and bigger, with that same architectural vernacular, than to see a sheet metal box appear.
Yeah. The other thing to note, Matt did not touch on, during ARC, you'll notice the bathroom door facing Cherry Avenue. We will be working to relocate that or shield that from view, as that could create some sort of privacy issue in the future, that door right there. And also, on the rear of that building, you see the blank stucco wall. Greg will be looking at commissioning a mural on that side, indicative of the Art Deco era, some sort of theme that would fit into the whole complex.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you have any questions? Ms. Fowler-Payne, do you have questions for the applicant?
No question, just a comment. Just as he was talking about the bathroom door, I was thinking, gosh, I wonder if they're going to have an outdoor bathroom like they do on the auto body shop right down the road. But I have no question. I like it. I'm a classic car person. I have three. One full body off restoration. I live on a street where it's almost a prerequisite to have a classic car. We all have them. So I'm glad to see something like this.
Commissioner George, do you have any questions for the applicant?
I do, just a simple one. Do you expect a lot of commercial trucks coming in and out of your facility? And if you do, is there a specific road, traffic, Cherry, or Waller that you plan on having them take?
We anticipate a maximum of 6 trucks a day.
Okay.
And the main access would be coming off of Traffic Green left into the site, and then going through the site out through Cherry and left. And okay. Only during peak times would there be up to, great, I think 8 per day. I'm assuming on that.
Yeah, well, what we have is we have UPS, FedEx, and the USPS. They drop off in the morning, so that's 3 deliveries in the morning, 3 pickups in the evening. Sometimes during our peak times, we have multiple pickups. So when you came over and you said there was a lot of activity going on, our Black Friday, Cyber Monday, it was absolute chaos. So what happened was we were filling up trucks as fast as we could go, and they were back and forth all day long, and they finally said, we need bigger vehicles. So now, instead of the little tiny, little priority mail trucks that are coming around, they brought up bigger vehicles so we could load them up to make it easier. But during our peak seasons, yeah, we're busy all the time, but we have the peak seasons that will have, you know, maybe 2 to 3 more pickups a day. So we'd be looking at a maximum of 9 on the trucks. Okay. And then as we grow, like I said, that third-party distribution even changes everything and makes it even easier.
That was my question. Thank you.
Okay. I do have a couple of questions. In line with the others that you've already been heard, but I'm wondering if this warehouse number 1, if there's an anticipation it might be leased to an outside, you know, business entity of some kind, or is this really going to be either saved or built, or you're growing so quickly you're going to end up using, you know, all 3 of these warehouse buildings on site?
We're going to use everything. I mean, that played it simple. We're growing so fast. We're becoming this big national brand. It's pretty exciting to have a business start in my garage, and now we're becoming a national brand. And I want the whole thing. I don't have plans in leasing this thing. I have plans in occupying everything. You know, it's just like that's why I'm putting in a car museum of all the cars. I have a bunch of cars in all my builds. I've kept every single car I have. And I have a lot of pride in that, you know. And the thing is, I kind of want a place to show them off. Does that make business sense? Probably not. But you know what? The thing is, this it makes sense in my mind to me. And I want to, like I say, it's a further thing that we're proud to be in the city, and people come over to look to see it. So I'd rather have that instead of leasing it and an income on it.
And from a branding aspect, it could be very, very good and beneficial for you. That, you know, you're all there in one location, and you know whatever kind of marketing or advertising you're doing, someone that wants to see those kinds of classic vehicles or, you know, those built-out vehicles that you've got, this is where they need to come see them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can't wait for the, New Year's Day, the garage tours that they do from the Donut Derelicts. Well, I'd like to show them my garage. So we're excited for that to happen. And, you know, we want to build everything quickly. Yes, it's within budgets. I know you asked about the phasing of the buildings, and I just want to elaborate that on a second. And we're looking at the budgeting right now. Now we're getting the numbers together. I want to do the whole thing, and I want to do it now, you know, because I want my street tacos. I love my coffee. You know, I want my car museum. I want all this. And we're looking at budgeting and see what comes in. You know, we might be phasing, yes, the main building, and I want to phase one of the back buildings immediately. But as budgeting comes in right now, I can make decisions within the next month on doing everything. So that's what we're excited about because we need it. You know, we're looking for the future. You know, we're not going to be small in the future. We're going to be big, and we need everything.
Very good. Thank you. And piggybacking on that a little bit, it's on what Commissioner George asked about, I do have kind of questions about the size of the cafe. One, we are nominally overparked. Obviously, that's just a pad at this point. Is it a fair assumption that that will be leased to a restaurant food operation of some kind rather than you trying to operate it on your own? Or
I have somebody who's going to operate it for me. I want to have Rugged Roasters. I just love it. It's such a cool thing, and you know, all the kids that walk to school over there, I think it's going to be awesome. And I want to have Rugged Roasters. I love coffee and I love street tacos, so I want to have it. And I already have a lady who's in the business, a local that wants to step in and run it for me. So yeah, I want to have it my own.
Okay, you're much farther along than I was anticipating or guessing. Congratulations.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I'm on the gas. I mean,
I'm getting that impression.
Yeah.
He's a fairly enthusiastic guy to work for, I'm assuming.
it's a little crazy. We're on the gas every second. I rarely sleep. And the thing is, it's because we want to build something great. And that's what we're really excited about this project. So we're making something great.
Very good. Those are the only questions I have for the applicant. At this point, this is now the opportunity for the public comment for the people that want to speak on this particular item. I do have a number of speaker slips. My request is everyone who has an interest or desire to speak is welcome to come up and speak. I'm not going to keep anyone from coming and speaking. I do have a request that you try to keep it to the three-minute remarks, time frame, to give everyone who wishes to speak an opportunity and time to speak. And my other request is feel free to speak your own mind and give your own thoughts and opinions and comments, but let's avoid or try to avoid duplicating the same comment over and over and over from different voices in order to allow us the appropriate time to make our evaluations after this public hearing. If you have not filled out a speaker slip, it's a voluntary thing, but I request it because it'll be easier for me to handle the process here. But with the ones that I have, I'm going to start with Steve Bichard, and then followed by Lance Mitchell. Yes? You're absolutely welcome to. Thank you.
Slipped my mind. I forgot to thank staff for all their hard work on this project, Matt, Teresa, Robin, Patrick, and I'll talk with Matt about tree structures later this week. Try to figure out what that is. Thank you, bud. Thank you very much.
I want to just say one other thing. One other point that you brought up about natural lighting, solar. Yeah, I'm looking at all that now. I have another warehouse off-site in Grover Beach. Every time I walk in there, I don't need to turn on the lights because it's got skylights in it, and I absolutely love it. So, I mean, the thing is this, is addressing that. Heck yes. I mean, it makes such a difference. It's such a smart move. You know, we're a smart, progressive company. So, yes, things like that I'm putting into place now. So.
Very good. Thank you very much. So, Steve, you're up, followed by Lance Mitchell.
I was hoping for somebody else. I've never done this
before. Take a big breath. Just introduce yourself and feel free.
Behind
go for
the
it.
Scenes, maybe? Is that what we're going to do? So my name's Steve Bichard. So I actually met Greg through racing years ago. So race desert cars and stuff. Greg had posted something on social media. I was just being kind of a smart aleck and said, you're having a great time. Are you hiring? Kind of thing. I worked at a semiconductor plant as an engineer. 10 minutes later, he calls me and says, I got a position for you. I came from Bend, Oregon. Nobody moves from Bend, Oregon to California. It's the other way. I couldn't be happier on that move. My family, everything. I'm sorry. Greg's a great guy. His business is huge. It's everything to most of us. So, anyways. Yeah, this couldn't be a better project for this community. It really couldn't. So, anyways, all right.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Steve, very much. Lance Mitchell, followed by Steve Gonzalez.
Thanks for having me. I'm Lance Mitchell, general manager for Rugged Radios. I've been in this area since 1984, graduate from Arroyo Grande High School. It's 25 years. The automotive repair industry was Supreme Automotive. And Greg came to me one day and said, I need help building my business up. And I said, what can I do for you? So here I am from 2012. We started with 8 employees. We now have 38. We actually had 9 employees. I was the 9th. So it's been a fast ride. Our growth is insane. Everything that we do turns to gold. It's tough to hang on to. We're always pulling the reins back, trying not to go as fast as we are. But right now, with the economy and everything, the way things are going, we've got to keep up with it. We do everything in-house. Our marketing, our website, everything we do will be done here in Rio Grande. The only thing we don't do is our off-site manufacturing and sole crib. But it's all part of the big plan. My wife's been born and raised in the area, school teacher at Ocean View. Elementary, we employ right now 18 local high school graduates. Okay, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for the community to come in and help build our future team at Rugged Radios. We've 38 employees, 11 families. All 11 families, meaning the 11 people have children, all go to the local schools here. So that's what we're building. That's what's making us great. And we look forward to continuing. I can see, you know, another, you know, 10 employees in the next year and a half very easily. So that's the biggest thing that I bring to Rugged, is trying to help Greg, you know, find the right staff and keep us moving strong. And everybody here, all these, most of our employees that are here right now will tell you one thing. We're just trying to keep up with him. And as you can see, it's not an easy job, but we're enjoying it. We love it. So thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Okay, Steve Gonzalez, followed by Mel Cottrell.
Good evening. Steve Gonzalez. Ditto to everything that Steve Bouchard and Lance Mitchell said. Tons of passion. So I want to comment on the uniqueness of Rugged Radios. I think you guys already see that, but it's amazing the opportunities that I have been afforded here locally by Gray and Rugged, Jody. We're doing things that I never imagined that I would be doing. Excuse me. And we're doing things globally, nationally for sure. We're growing at a crazy rate. And networking with businesses, people, just all over the U.S., all over the world. And it's just amazing. My daughter, Matea, is here. My older daughter, Bella, couldn't make it because she's got lots of homework. And my wife has a class. She was disappointed she couldn't make it. But this job, this business has kept me here. And we're proud of the community. We're proud of the business. And we're super, super excited about the new property and building. So, anyway, just want to say thank you to everyone. And really looking forward to the ride. It's been great so far, and just hang on to your hat. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Steve. Mel Cottrell, followed by Bill Greider.
My name is Mel Cottrell, and Greg is my son. Our son, my wife's name is Jan over here. I got to say our. And I just got to say, is my wife and I fell in love with the Royal Grande over 50 years ago. We came through and we loved it. And it started out that we wanted to someday come up here and have a business with our living quarters above the business. But that was way back in the 60s. And that didn't work. We expanded our business down south. And we were there and just grew and grew and grew. And so we couldn't come up. But we loved this place up here, and we fell in love because some people treated us. We came down with $3 in our pocket, and we're going clear down south, and it's all we had was $3 in our pocket. We stopped in here. We can't even find the exact place, but we knew it, a Royal Grande. And they let us have a room and stay there for the night, and they let us write a check. No credit cards or anything, $3 in change in a Volkswagen with a child in the back seat. And so we fell in love with it. Well, finally, we came up and we said, well, after we sold one of our businesses, one of our next to last business, that we were going to move up here and have a vacation home. And so we thought, well, we'd find the exact spot up here and maybe we'd get a temporary place for that. Well, our son Greg came up here and said, came up there and he came back. He said, oh my God, he said, I love that place. He said, I love the people in the Royal Grande. They're not stressed like down here in the LA County area. And so far, he says, they're beautiful people up there. So he wanted to come up here. I said, don't do that, Greg. Don't. There's no work up there. He said, I don't care. I'll figure out something. I said, no, you don't understand. It's a college town and so forth. People come in here and they get the little jobs and they go away. And he said, I don't care. I'll figure out something. Well, he did. And he took that house. It wouldn't work for us. Liberty State Lee found the house. Wouldn't work for us. He said, I know it won't work for you, but I'll take it. I'm going to buy it. And so he did. He bought it. And so then he figured out something. And he started out, not even me knowing it,
but he started out in his garage selling stuff, and then he got that business out, the warehouse building out there, and expanded that. So I had part of the building, and then pretty soon he started shoving me out because he couldn't sit still. This guy kept going and going, and there's such a thing as hard work. Everybody, you know, talk about people that really work hard. But working hard is one thing, and working smart is something else. Well, he had them both. He nailed them both down, worked hard and worked smart. And then it kept growing and growing. It pushed me out, so I had to get my own warehouse for my junk and my motorhome. So then he started coming over. He needs a little bit more room. So he had some of his stuff over my warehouse. And finally, it's just so crazy that he said, you know, I really want to be in Royal Garden, my business. I would live here. I want to be here with my business too. And he always wanted to do that, but there wasn't warehouse space here to get anything in Royal Garden. He couldn't find anything. So finally, he built it up and found that building to buy. And that was his dream, is to move out here. And so he got out here, and then, now, like I said, not only hard working, but working smart. And with really good people and a good city to work with. And so he was thrilled. I am happy. A lot of you people might know me as the volunteer for the Parks Department. I'm the only one that does what I do for the Rancho Grande Park up here. And I love the place. Greg has the equal love for Royal Grande. And I think that he's going to do a very good job for the community and the people of Royal Grande. So thank you very much. If you approve this, I think it's the right move, and we're all going to benefit from it. It's a great thing. Thank you so much.
Very good. Thank you, Mel. Bill Greider.
Good evening. I believe I'm probably one of the only ones that's not part of the family here, but was very impressed by the turnout. Actually, it's been a long time since I think I've seen anybody like this, but I speak in favor of the project. I've seen Rugged Radios at a number of the local shows around. I saw it on the docket and thought, you know, hey, better come down here and make sure everything goes smooth and at least speak my opinion. I didn't know that there's going to be 30 other people that are also cheering for everything here. So I think it goes without saying that it's a magnificent project. I think it's a great gateway into the community. It's probably one of the better, if not best, designs that I've seen for a production-type facility, and to have it right on the main entryway to Royal Grande, I think we'd be very proud to have it here. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you very, very much. Is there someone else that would like to step up and speak that has not submitted a speaker slip, so I don't have their name? Please, you're welcome to come. Just remember to introduce yourself, and you're welcome to speak.
My name is Ann Bachman, and I'm a homeowner in this area. And I think I'm the only one here at the meeting to represent the homeowners. I knew very little. I knew nothing about this project until the sign was put up on Traffic Way 2 weeks ago. Small sign, no place to really park to read it except the big line, the time and place for the hearing. The project sounds fantastic. But my big concern is the traffic. I come in and out of there every day. We now have 48 new homes going in with the traffic with that. And we have the high school, when it's out or going to school, the traffic is horrendous. You can't get through. People coming off of Traffic Way coming in here. I just don't see how the traffic is going to work with a project like this, with any project there maybe. They want to expand, and I can see even more and more traffic with the trucks and such. That truly is my big concern. And we've lived here in Royal Grande for 25 years, so I've seen it when it was much smaller, and I love the town. But with all this growth in this area alone, is really... it's fairly hard to accept because of the fact that our traffic, we now will have to go into all the neighborhoods for to try and get out of here, just to literally try and get out of here. And everybody else is too. So I think something like that really needs to be considered very highly. We were told originally it was going to be a hotel, and that there might be a traffic light. I don't know if there's a traffic light still planned, and if there is, even at that, the traffic coming in from the highway, 101 on traffic way, it gets backed up. And with the high school, we can't even get out of East Cherry. So these are all things that really need to be considered. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you very much for your comments. Anybody else that would like to speak at this point? I'm going to close the public comment period and the opportunity to return it back to the commission. Do you have any other questions for staff on this, or do you have any comments you'd like to make before we get a motion made? Mr. Shiro?
I'd just like to say, first of all, you know, a lot of times when you see something, when we look at zoning and we look at the general plan, there's a lot of gray in as far as whether this fits the zoning. The East Cherry plan was pretty specific about wanting and encouraging something that went along with the automotive businesses that are already there. So, you know, for me, the biggest concern is traffic. But when we look at the traffic numbers that this actually would generate, and we looked at what was proposed before, I think this is a great fit. I don't know if I've seen a better fit for a zoning target than that's been presented to us. I certainly come with an open mind and certainly look at things like traffic in the neighborhood and the concerns that are there. But this is a piece of property that's been zoned and been planned for this usage. And the traffic light and the mitigations came with the neighborhood. So I think that those concerns have been mitigated. It's great to hear the success of a local business, to see the growth. But more importantly, or more impressively to me, to see the enthusiasm of your employees and how they respect you and what you've done. So I would be in favor of the project.
Commissioner Fowler Payne, do you?
You know, we keep trying to get more industry and more revenue, and I think this is a good project for that. And I'm very envious because I only have a 3-car garage. That's limited me to 3 classic cars. So again, I'm very envious of this warehouse. I don't have room on my half acre for one. But I think it's a good project. I think the location is excellent. I mean, that's basically what we've got there is car services and car sales. So I can't think of another area that would be appropriate for this type of use. I mean, we're kind of limited and restricted in Rio Grande as to where you could go. So good luck. I look forward to seeing it.
Commissioner George?
So first of all, I agree with Commissioner Shiro. I can't think of a better fit for the area than what you're proposing to put in there. When we had to consider it as a hotel, it was much more daunting. And if a hotel were to have come before us tonight, I'm sure this room would be filled with a lot more people and not in a good way. So thank you. Thank you, one, for creating a business that supports your community. Thank you for continuing to choose Arroyo Grande and not looking for a different location to move your business to. It's obvious that your employees, you created an environment that not only creates careers, jobs, but also creates a livelihood and a family. And for that, I commend you. Growth is awesome. We are always looking to not only support our businesses, but to retain them. So for you to be able to grow, prosper, and want to remain here, again, I just wanted to echo that is That's a phenomenal thing. I think that your design is great. A little misleading as I was looking at the packet because I believe the sign said burger and you kept saying tacos. So just not sure if you're going to move towards a burger path or the taco path, but that, you know, that's something that...
We were just in Mexico for the Baja 1000.
Well, there you
go. So street Mexican tacos, we got to bring them to Aurora.
Yeah, understand. I love them. Your packet, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, and you know, just to elaborate, you know, it's so important for us to be in Aurora Grande. You know, this is where I live, and this is where I want to be. And just to reiterate what you're saying about that is, yes, I could have moved to a lot of other places. There's a lot of other cities that wanted us. And the thing is this, that I could have easily went someplace else. And it was so important for me to have Aurora Grande my home.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. It makes it a lot easier to go through your project and really get all the information when your packet is as thorough as yours was. So I appreciate you taking the time and the effort, and I know the money that it took to bring forward a packet that is as complete as we received. We've been getting a lot of packets lately that aren't nearly as thorough, which makes it harder for us to approve because we have so many more questions. So the reason why myself, I can't speak for my fellow commissioners, the reason why I didn't ask a million questions is because the answers were there. And so for that, kudos to you. I honestly don't have much more to say. I'm in support of the project, and I hope that if it does get approved, you're able to get your building permits and able to get going on it so that we can have our tacos and rugged roasters.
Mr. Mack?
I have a few comments. And the first, right off, I want to, you know, speak to the architect and the design team. In the 4 years that I've been in planning commissioners, it's been the most thorough design presentation that has come before me, and I believe this body and the bodies before. A lot of effort and time has gone into that site plan. It's all labeled. It's real easy to read. A lot of thought has gone into the site from the positioning of the buildings and, you know, your prominent warehouse building where it's situated next to a gas station. It's sensitive to the parking in terms of the building masking, the trailer park, having proper offsets, great site circulation, plenty of parking. With that said, thank you. To get down to more of the project itself, I think this is a real benefit to the community. I can see, you know, the heart that has gone into this, and I can see this being used for other venues, possibly car clubs coming and showing off their cars and donuts in the parking lot and tacos in the parking lot and possibly even farmers market. I see that your willingness to give back to the community is just, it's terrific. And this is exactly what I stand for. I stand for building up individual businesses that have started here. I don't like chasing them out of town because we don't have a spot for them. I like to see them grow into the city and grow with the city so our kids can stay here. High school students can stay here. We're not chasing them out of our community. This is just the perfect location for your business with the theme of traffic way and coming off the freeway. My concerns are exactly what was said tonight, but it was not only just traffic. It's parking. And it's water. When we originally looked at this a couple years ago for a 100-unit hotel, it was taking, 13.8 acre-feet of water. This is more like 3.4 acre-feet of water. What a huge savings we would be doing by approving this tonight in terms of just our water resources. The traffic report that was originally generated was for a 100-unit hotel going on and off the freeway, and the solutions are still there as if that's going to occur. And the light we just got confirmed is still going through. It's going to be built, going to be installed before their first home permit or is occupied. So I'm satisfied. I'm trying to think of areas that this plan is deficient. With me, I would like to see the cafe bigger too.
To me, the scale of it seems a little small and proportionate to the other buildings, but that could be the charm of it, too. I wouldn't necessarily condition it to be bigger, but I would not be opposed to it growing another 20 or 25% if it needed to. You have the parking. You have the area to do that. The other thing I was trying to share was the biggest consumption is electric when you have these buildings, and that's why I was trying to encourage natural light, because it's something that gets missed. And like you had indicated, and I've been in a lot of warehouses, if you put the skylights in, your energy cost is going to go way down. So incorporating those kind of things. I didn't see a lot of windows on the lot C in terms of those two warehouse buildings, so I was kind of hoping to see more windows or natural light, but with the explanation, I think you're going to do the right thing. But again, this is exactly what I like to see with our community, and that is small businesses being able to stay here and grow and stay within the community. Thank you.
You know, if I could say one thing,
please make it brief, so technically we don't have public comment. But
no, I'll just make it really brief. You know, the cafe, there's a right across from Ben Franklin's, it's called The Station, and I've looked at that place a lot, and that's what we kind of modeled it after, and it just works so well. And I think the size is right, just because I watch how they do things there, and it was just, I just fell in love with it. That's why it's the size that it is. Thank you.
Make one comment?
Yes.
One thing we talked about the size of the cafe, but we never did address if there was indoor seating or if it's just all outdoor service.
No, there's indoor seating where the two roll-up doors, where kind of the garage bays are. Mm-hmm. That's indoor seating.
Very good. Thank you. Just first a point of clarification. The signal that has been discussed tonight is actually going at the corner of Traffic Way and Fair Oaks.
That's right.
Not here at Cherry. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Very good. That's part of the condition on the residential development. So there's a signal coming in, but it's not there. So if there's any confusion on what's happening there at Cherry. The other thing before I make my final comments, on the resolution that's sitting in front of us, on the first page you talk about the ARC, consider the project in June of 2017. I think those are typos. It'll go down with it. Next to the tree structures, I think these were 2018. We give bad an appropriate bad time. And anyway, 2018, I'm assuming, are the dates that need to be corrected on that. The only comment I'll make, just make this brief, is to piggyback on the fellow commissioners. The view, the overall look of the development and the location and the are very, very appropriate. It is exciting to hear about and kind of absorb the energy that is obvious in Greg and as the owner of the business, but it's certainly felt by the employees that are sitting and filling this room. Traffic, too, is a constant issue for me as it is for the others, but I agree with Commissioner Mack that the traffic that's going to be generated on Cherry and traffic away from this development is going to be just very, very small in comparison to the hotel development that was originally proposed for this location. So with those comments being said, I'm happy to entertain a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion.
Very good. Thank you.
I move that the Planning Commission of the City of Aurora Grande approve the addendum to the East Cherry Avenue Specific Plan Environmental Impact Report and Conditional Use Permit 18-003, located at 501 Traffic Way, sub-area 1 of the East Cherry Avenue Specific Plan.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion that we need to have on this item before we call for a roll call vote?
No.
Not seeing any.
Just a small discussion. I really like the sign element on the building, and when the signage comes back, I'm kind of hoping that is still the plan, because it's really the Art Deco feeling of the signage.
I'm confident that they're not going to sway too far from that Art Deco. Over Greg's dead body or some architect's dead body if it doesn't meet that criteria.
I guess what I'm saying is I'd really encourage staff to stick with the design that was presented, even if it goes over the maximum area.
Very good. Mr. Downing, ahead. It looks like you were preparing to try to say something.
The only comment that I have is we will fix those recitals in your resolution.
Very good. Thank you. May we have a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner George?
Yes.
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
Commissioner Shiro?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
And Commissioner Martin?
Yes. Resolution passes 5-0. I'd like to thank the architects, Mr. Danmar, Mr. Pugliosi, and Mr. Cottrell, and the Cottrell, extended Cottrell family that was here, as well as the others in the public that came and spoke, you know, their mind. It's truly appreciated, and this is why we're here and have a public venue for this type of vote and activity. And if you don't mind, you're welcome to leave, but we do have a couple other items, and we'd like to go home as well tonight.
Step you don't outside. Have to run off, though. You can stay for them.
Yeah, you're welcome to stay and listen for the rest of our
next. All right, thank you.
Thank you. So the next item on the agenda tonight is a non-public hearing item as a consideration of the Planning Commission appointment to the Jim Guthrie Community Service Grant Panel. Mr. Downey.
Yes, thank you again, Chair Martin, members of the Commission. So this is the fifth year of the what is now called the Jim Guthrie Community Service Grant Program. So it used to be that the City Council would set aside community development block grant funds to go back to public services and things like that. Due to the restrictions associated with CDBG funds and those becoming more restrictive with HUD, the City Council decided to, several years ago, to allocate $20,000 in this grant program for these public service groups to request funding from. Trying really hard not to get distracted. and so, as we have done in years past, there's a grant panel that's established. It's using one member of each committee that the city has to fill that panel and one alternate to evaluate all the applications that came in. So we received 9 or 10 applications. I can't remember the exact number. And of course, the funding requests exceed the funding availability, so whoever is selected from your group to represent the Planning Commission will have a job to do in making a recommendation moving forward. But this evening we are looking for one representative and one alternate from the Planning Commission to sit on that that grant panel. And I would note that last year Commissioner George was the selected representative and Commissioner Shiro was the alternate.
Very good. Thank you. Mr. George, want to make a comment before I seek a volunteer?
I do. I've served on the panel for 2 years, and I have to say it's a very rewarding position to be in. And I know that last year Commissioner Shiro had expressed interest in it, and I kind of bullied him into allowing me to do it. So as much as I'd love to throw my name in the hat, I'd like to also be able to share this opportunity with someone else if they'd like an opportunity to do it. The projects that come before you get a packet, and the organizations that are asking for money are all well-deserved. And so it really gives me chills just thinking about it. It really is rewarding to go through and read why they need the money and what they're planning to spend the money on. And I'm really happy that with the budget cuts that the $20,000 did not get cut.
Very good.
I just had an observation. It said that there's going to be one member from the Planning Commission, one from the Historical Commission, one from the Traffic Committee. If we're down a few commissions...
Well, you caught that.
Wouldn't it be more appropriate to maybe have two Planning Commissioners?
That's an idea that I thought of earlier. So what Director McClish and I have talked about on that, since we do have the program set up the way it is, and even though we don't have those committees and commissions anymore, what we were going to do is reach out to the appointees from last year and see if they're interested. Because once you volunteer with us, our hooks are in you, and we're going to keep going back to you. So that was our idea. But then I did have that same idea earlier. What if we do pull two from the group? You wouldn't be in any violation of the Brown Act, but
I don't know if Teresa has some thoughts on that either.
Just what Matt explained, and I think the folks that have volunteered on the panels that were disbanded are very interested in volunteering, and this provides an avenue to to grab a few of them back for another initiative, and that's what the thought was.
And each of the panelists last year were extremely qualified and well educated in all. They came prepared, and they came to collaborate and to make a decision that was in the best interest of everyone. So I would be in favor, if they're able to come forward, definitely be in favor of reaching out to them.
However, the alternate selected may, if for some reason, can't elicit the number. We'd like this number for the panel. Then we would go with the alternate as well.
That was my thought. Maybe that's kind of a recommendation or a stipulation that if the need arose that you were seeking a broader base or larger number of participants on this, this little grant panel, that the alternate from the Planning Commission would be invited to join that group in order to fill those seats. So with that being said,
it's six right now. Is that right? Is that what it was?
Six people from the community are sitting in that decision-making body.
That's correct.
Recommending body. So there's six.
What do you do in case of a tie?
That's not my problem, Mr. Shiro.
There's no tie because there are so many. So what we do is we rank them. So first of all, we all go across and we talk about each one and why. Yeah, and we base it on the need. And that kind of is how we ranked them, and we had discussion about all of them. So there was no tiebreaker to be had because everything was ranked pretty. It was very clear the need that we saw.
Are we premature in appointing that since the commission is going to be readjusted?
Another great question. We talked about that as well. However, given that the couple of things to keep in mind. One, this is the makeup of our Planning Commission at this moment. So if it's believed to be appropriate that a current sitting member of the Planning Commission is appointed to this review panel, staff is supportive of that. Additionally, because of the timing of all of these things, we have to have the panel early in February. I believe I'm eyeballing February 1st. Saturday or Friday. Early February. And there wouldn't be, it would end up delaying us in making this recommendation because we make this recommendation along with our CDBG recommendation to the council at the same time, at the same meeting, and we have to do that early March. And so we would end up missing that meeting date if we held back for however the Planning Commission's makeup is starting in February.
And my thought as well is that the primary goal is just to be a kind of a broad-based community panel. Per se, so if there was someone, a current commissioner, that was not a current commissioner in February or March, whenever this group met, it is an incidental non-issue in reality as far as the decision-making process for this group.
Correct.
When does the new commission get appointed? What hearing?
At the second city council meeting of January.
So is there a volunteer to step up into this?
Well, I'll volunteer again. That was really nice to say that because I know that she did a great job. You did a great job, so I was going to say if you did such a great job, I'd be the backup again. But thank you. That was very nice.
Do we need to take a vote on this? Is this something that's just the volunteer is able just on their own volition to?
If there's group agreement on the primary member based on a volunteer basis and group consensus, just a quick voice, yes, I support that.
We have a voice acclamation for Mr. Shiro to fill the position.
Yes.
I think that's a universal aye. Is there an alternate that would like someone from the remaining four that would like to step up and participate as an alternate or a potential participant in this group? Panel should the need arise.
I'll alternate if no one else wants to. Again, I don't want to hog it, but if no one else steps up, I'm happy to.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And yes. I think we got those two names. Very good.
Yes, yeah, so Commissioner Shiro will be the appointed Planning Commission representative, and Commissioner George will be the alternate.
Very good. Tough decision. The next item is just a notice of administrative decisions. Mr. Downey, do you have any kind of comment that you would like to make on this? I just noticed it's denial, which is a little bit unusual. Or may you want to just give any little brief background on that?
Other than pointing out that, yes, it was a denial of this specific request. At this moment, that's all I'll say about it, as it might come. There's a chance that it could come before the Planning Commission in the future.
Very good. Thank you very much. Any commission communications, correspondence, or comments from any of the commissioners here tonight?
Can we ask a question on that one? That denial? Because there were... The staff report said that it was a accessory dwelling unit, which was a converted garage. Was it a permitted conversion?
Yes.
Okay. I was just curious. It didn't say. That was it.
Okay.
So I just have one comment. We had a speaker come up, Mel Cottrell, and I didn't recognize him until at the very end. He said he was a self-appointed caretaker for Rancho Grande Park. And last year my family... volunteered to clean the park, and the trash cans are overflowing, and this man comes up in his little golf cart, and I was told that I believe he goes every week or twice a week, and his job, that it's a self-appointed job, is to make sure that that park stays clean, and he's very passionate about it. So it was nice to connect the dots, because I don't know, it was just kind of cool to see him again.
I'll just like to take the opportunity to follow up on that, because we will be, stay tuned, we will be having our volunteer appreciation and an end of January dinner, and he was formally recognized for his amazing volunteer work that he does for the city, and it was good to see him here. And then I just wanted to put a plug into a coming soon a volunteer appreciation dinner that the city will put on, and we'll be sending out invitations to you at the new year.
Very good, thank you. Any other comments, Mr. Mack?
Just a staff communication.
Well, they're next on the agenda.
I can wait.
Okay.
Are we there now?
Not for the staff. I'm still on the commission communications. You want to wait till the staff has their chances? Very good. Mr. Shire, any comments you want to make?
No comments.
I have none either. We have staff communications, and apparently there's a commissioner that wants to participate in the staff communications.
I get this question all the time. In Berry Gardens, it looks like the Public Works Department, or they go around and they paint the sidewalks with yellow stripes. That's about the third time they've done it in about 5 years. What can we tell some of the neighbors of what's going on with that? Is it sidewalk replacement? Is it...
The yellow stripe, I presume, is on a... is painted over a crack in the sidewalk, or where there is a potential tripping hazard. And so the first thing to do is just to highlight it, so it's easily visibly recognized, and so folks can see it and not trip. And then it's programmed into a sidewalk repair maintenance schedule. However, we do have many through the city, so it does not mean they'll be immediately attended to, but it is programmed, and then the remedy is, I should ask Patrick because he works with them on this, the remedy is to either shave it so that it's a good transition, or sometimes it's a replacement of a panel, or sometimes it's a actual tree removal or whatever is causing the upheaval of the sidewalk.
I tell them to go ahead and contact the city, because I don't know whether that's an indication of the concrete being replaced or shaved, or whether we're just highlighting it so people don't trip.
Just to expand on that, we are currently putting the CIP budget together for the concrete repairs for this next year in 2019. And depending on the cost right now, we are focusing on repairing some of the sidewalks in Berry Gardens due to the tree root issues that they're facing out there. So we are currently looking at including that as part of the 2019 CIP budget.
Thank you.
I just have a comment about that. Do you think part of the reason for the change in the elevation on the sidewalk is because of the, since we've had the drought? I know at my house, I put my sidewalks, my retaining walls in 27 years ago. They were fine until this last 3 years, and the ground has gotten so dry that it's caused sinkage and separation, and I've got a difference in the elevation on my sidewalks after all this time. And so I, you know, is it happening in other places besides Berry Gardeners, or is it just specifically in that area?
There are several locations throughout the city that were facing this, and a lot of it has to do with the installation of the trees, and the tree wells are not sized appropriately. One of the things the city is now doing is requiring larger tree wells to help eliminate some of the issues we're having with some of the tree roots.
Well, I'm hoping with the rain, mine will expand again and solve the problem.
Are there any other staff comments?
No other communications.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you all. Have a Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Yep. A couple days off, I'm assuming, next week.
Yes, the city will be closed the 24th and 25th next week.
Monday and Tuesday, both. Very good. With that, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.